Supreme Court. So when I first started organizing in 68, 69 with the United Farm Workers full-time starting in 1969, even as I was a draft register awaiting arrest and trial, I thought, which didn't happen to come, and that's another story, we would be leafleting at a Safeway store about the grape boycott and the grape strike. And we would oftentimes, the store manager would call the police, and the police would come and put us in a car, and we would pull out our little newspaper clipping about the Supreme Court decision, inform the police that this we had the constitutional right to be there. And sometimes they'd take us to the station, sometimes they'd stop and make a phone call, and then let us go. So that was supported by the Supreme Court, and I don't think people realize that the simple act of leafleting about your rights about anything and the environment, about women's rights, anything is a right that was won by the students and the faculty at UC Berkeley.
On that note, Tatanka Kitbrika, I want to thank you very much for giving us a history lesson.
Okay, my pleasure.
This is John Crumshaw for KPFK. Support KPFK so that your kids' grandkids or someone else's great-grandkids can listen when they grow up. Do it for them. Pledge today. Dial 818-985-5735 or pledge online at kpfk.org. Support KPFK today. Radio for the future. The truth is that I haven't shook my
shadow. You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
Good afternoon and welcome to Middle East in Focus. I'm Esty Chandler. The rampant surge in public displays of nonviolent anti-Zionism across America, buoyed in these past few months by a graduate and undergraduate student-led movement from coast to coast, which includes historic numbers of Jewish Americans, has also meant record growth for progressive Jewish organizations, including Jewish Voice for Peace, which declared itself anti-Zionist about 5 years ago. The surge of support for positions aligned with JVP by the majority of the Democratic base has ignited desperation among establishment pro-Israel organizations and politicians. So much so that Zionist California State Senator Scott Wiener was recently moved to explain Jewish Voice for Peace on the floor of the California Senate. He didn't have a staffer call JVP to interview someone, nor did he go to the organization's website to learn about JVP's actual positions. Instead, he used the Israeli art of hasbara, or explaining. Hasbara was invented to spin Israeli actions and state policies anticipated or known to be antithetical to stated American civic values, as to make them more palatable to an American audience. Wiener positioned his comments about JVP around the opposition to California Senate Bill 1287, which would violate constitutionally protected free speech by imposing restrictions on specific phrases and opinions currently being expressed by students and activists in opposition to the war crimes, ethnic cleansing, and genocide currently being inflicted on Palestinians by the Israeli government, as well as opposition to California Senate Bill 1277, which would enshrine the California Teachers Collaborative for Holocaust and Genocide Education as the statewide authority on K-12 education on those subjects, as opposed to an alternative curriculum based on international law, including the United Nations Genocide Convention. The bill achieves its goals by hiding that the collaborative is a project of an Israel-aligned center in collaboration with other known Zionist organizations, including the Anti-Defamation League, widely known for racist, Islamophobic, and anti-Palestinian positions and rhetoric. Oddly, Wiener chose to attack JVP by speaking about topics that have also recently been heard discussed by a fellow member of JVP and a friend of this show. So I am especially grateful to have my friend, Rabbi Brant Rosen, back with us today to discuss First Amendment rights, academic freedom, and Jewish safety alongside safety for all people. Some themes that he has been talking about, albeit very differently than Senator Wiener is framing them. Rabbi Brant Rosen, a UCLA graduate and native Angeleno, is the founding rabbi of Tzedek Chicago, an anti-Zionist Jewish congregation based in Evanston. He is also the co-founder, along with Rabbi Alyssa Wise, of the Jewish Voice for Peace Rabbinic Council. He has fought for justice across the U.S. and around the world for many years, recently returning from Israel, where he participated in a Rabbis for Ceasefire action at the Erez Crossing as they attempted to deliver food relief to the people of northern Gaza. Jewish scholar and theologian Mark Ellis says, quote, Rabbi Rosen has become known in some circles as a rebel rabbi. His reputation is well-deserved, end quote. It is always a great pleasure to welcome my rebel rabbi, Brant Rosen, back to Middle East in Focus.
Thank you, Esty, and thank you for the kind words. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, we are very grateful to have you back on the show to discuss this topic because California State Senator Scott Wiener, in his recent rant on the Senate floor, claimed that JVP, an organization you and I both organize with, has two primary missions. He cited one of them as, quote, to repeatedly and persistently over time give tokenistic cover to people who make anti-Semitic statements, whether in the Arab world or in this country, end quote. And, quote, on many occasions, JVP has defended anti-Semites and people who have committed violence against Jews, end quote. He cited a five-year-old article that repeatedly conflates anti-Zionist positions and statements by people including progressive British MP Jeremy Corbyn, civil rights icon Angela Davis, and former CNN anchor Mark Lamont Hill as recent. Wiener seems to have been trying to cast doubt on JVP's concern for Jewish safety, which is something that I have heard you speak about many times, including on a recent panel hosted by Bright Stars of Bethlehem. But instead of discussing Jewish safety by promoting pro-Zionist legislation, I heard you speaking about it in relationship to Judaism, long-held Jewish ideals, and humanity. You also made the point on that panel to explain that Judaism and Zionism are very different things. So I wonder if you can begin by briefly, from your rabbinic point of view, explaining the relationship between Judaism and Zionism.
Sure. There's a lot to unpack there. And I did watch Representative Wiener's monologue yesterday and found it fairly bewildering. And we can address specific things he said, if you like. But, you know, to talk more generally, the conflation of Judaism, which is a centuries-old spiritual peoplehood, and Zionism, which is a political nationalist ideology that arose in the 19th century, is something that we need to lift up constantly, because there is this very strategic conflation of the two by the State of Israel, by supporters of the State of Israel and Zionist advocacy groups to fuse them as one and the same, and thereby, you know, use the stigma of anti-Semitism toward anti-Zionists, particularly those Jews who oppose the Zionist project. It's very important to keep these things separate. Now, absolutely, the land, what's known as Eretz Yisrael, what's referred to in the Torah and the Bible as the land of Israel, is a very central concept in Judaism. And the idea of the land informs much of what we do as Jews. But it's important to bear in mind that the notion of actually going into that land, historic Palestine, exert sovereign control over it, and establish a Jewish majority state there was never something that Judaism promoted or advocated for. And in fact, it was the opposite. The notion of creating a third Jewish commonwealth, so-called, was always considered an anathema by the classical rabbis of Jewish tradition and was prohibited. Certainly living in Israel, making pilgrimage to Israel, invoking Israel, all of these things are very important in Judaism. But the notion of forcing God's hand, which is, in other words, something that should only happen when the Messiah comes, the establishment of a Jewish state, in a kind of a cosmic sense, was something that human beings could not and should not do. Now, I'm not a traditional Jew. I don't adhere to that ideology, but I take very seriously the notion that the human creation of a Jewish nation state in historic Palestine is an idea that was never advocated by my spiritual tradition, our spiritual tradition, and has resulted in a grave injustice to the people who live in that land.
And can you also say a few words about Jewish safety in relationship to Judaism and Jewish teachings? I ask because many people right now are being told that the state of Israel and the genocide the Israeli government is waging in Gaza makes Jews in the world safer. But I've heard you saying something very different.
Yes. I mean, the common Jewish narrative is that Jews are inherently unsafe in the diaspora, and that this insecurity came to a head during the Holocaust, and that Israel needed to be established, a Jewish state in historic Palestine needed to be established in order to safeguard Jewish safety and security. What that ended up doing was displacing 750 Palestinians from their homes and refusing to let them return, creating what is today the largest refugee population in the world. Israel, as a result, has had to defend these borders militarily and occupy another people. That doesn't make Israelis safe. It certainly doesn't make Palestinians safe. And it doesn't create safety for Jews around the world who are implicated in these actions. Militarism never ultimately brings safety and security. And in the case of the state of Israel, which was founded on an inherent injustice to the people who lived in that land, and this ongoing dispossession of them has created a place of ongoing injustice and violence. You know, it's remarkable to me that people look at Israel as somehow a safe haven for Jews, but at the same time talk about October 7th as the worst mass killing of Jews since the Holocaust, which actually occurred in the state of Israel. So we need to put October 7th into a larger context of the injustice I'm talking about. But ultimately, I believe that safety and security of all peoples who are targeted for oppression, Jews or any other group of people, comes through solidarity, comes from demanding equal rights by joining arms together and seeing that the safety of one group is inseparable from the safety of another. So safety and solidarity is truly the core of how I understand my Judaism. And by the way, I believe it's the core of what Jewish Voice for Peace promotes when we talk about organizationally about a vision for Jewish safety and security, that ultimately it's inseparable from the safety and security of all peoples who are oppressed.
Well, I would have to agree with you. You're listening to Middle East in Focus on listener-supported KPFK in Los Angeles. I'm Esti Chandler, very happy to be joined today by Rabbi Brant Rosen, co-founder of the Jewish Voice for Peace Rabbinic Council and founding and current rabbi at Tzedek Chicago. Tikkun magazine editor Rabbi Michael Lerner says, Rabbi Brant Rosen is, quote, at once a courageous rabbi and the voice of a new generation of American Jews who are refusing to allow the right-wing voices of the Jewish world to define Judaism, end quote. I also happen to agree with Rabbi Lerner. But the second primary goal that Scott Wiener claimed as JVP's goal is, quote, to advocate for the complete elimination of the state of Israel as Jewish homeland. In other words, for Israel no longer to exist as home to 7 million Jews, end quote. Wiener is actually and was on the floor advocating on behalf of legislation that would enshrine Zionist McCarthyism into California law by restricting specific phrases and opinions currently being widely expressed by students and protesters in opposition to Israel's genocidal assault on Palestinians in Gaza, and also to enshrine Holocaust and genocide education in California K-12 schools that prioritizes the Nazi Holocaust above all other genocides, as opposed to being taught alongside them and in context with international humanitarian laws, which to my mind has the effect of minimizing other people's experiences and could actually create animus by exceptionalizing Jewish oppression over that of others. How does presenting the choices as being what Israel is currently doing in Gaza, which Wiener supports, and his imaginary dystopian future he wants people to believe Jewish Voice for Peace is working towards, distort the reality of what is happening and the continued full U.S. military and diplomatic support that he is actively advocating for?
You know, Wiener's comments are just a ridiculous hatchet job on Jewish Voice for Peace. It's not serious, and he shouldn't be taken seriously. It's troubling to think that he would be taken seriously. You know, he said things like, JVP's mission, as far as I can tell. Well, you can tell what JVP's mission is. You can go to their website and you can read it. You can read their press releases. You can read their statements. They're eminently available in the public domain. But he ignored all of that and gave this alternative narrative, which is highly destructive and prejudicial. JVP does not seek the elimination of the Jewish homeland for the 7 million Jews who live there. JVP advocates equal rights for all who live in the land, Jewish and non-Jewish alike. Jews can certainly live there. Jews can consider it their homeland wherever they happen to live in the world. But what we are advocating at JVP is that what we cannot do is go in and create a system of Jewish supremacy that privileges Jews over non-Jews simply because we happen to be Jews. And that is what Zionism is. B'Tselem, an Israeli human rights organization, referred to Zionism and the State of Israel as a system of Jewish supremacy from the river to the sea. And it is a system that inherently oppresses Palestinians because they do not fit into the dominant group that Israel has established the state upon, namely the Jewish people. So it is a vision that is rooted in human rights and international law and equal rights and democracy for all who live in the land, values that we purportedly cherish as Americans, and I would assume Wiener cherishes as a citizen of the United States. I assume that he would, in the South during the Jim Crow era, would have opposed segregation and Jim Crow laws. I imagine that in the 80s, he would oppose apartheid South Africa. These are all inequitable systems. And what we have in Israel as a result of Zionism, which is a ethno-national settler colonial project that privileges Jews over non-Jews and gives rights and privileges to Jews and not Palestinians, I'm sure that he, you know, if he read carefully, would understand that Jewish Voice for Peace is actually rooted in a deeply conscience-based and very Jewish conscience-based vision.
He said that JVP holds what can only be described as fringe viewpoints within the Jewish community. You're a congregational rabbi who does a lot of public speaking on and off campuses around the country, and you've been active, as noted, with JVP for many years. I've heard you talk many times about how, like all communities, the Jewish community is very diverse. Can you tell us about what you're hearing from Jewish people around the country these days? What are their concerns? What are they telling you about what they see happening, whether in their towns or in Gaza? What are they talking about?
I hear from folks every day, and I'm not exaggerating. I'm getting emails. I think because I'm an avowedly anti-Zionist rabbi and who's leading an anti-Zionist congregation, Jewish congregation, I think people are looking to me to kind of gain a grip in this moment. And I'm hearing from increasing numbers of Jews who either always felt at bay from the Jewish community because of the central place that Israel and Zionism has occupied and has never felt comfortable, you know, being part of Jewish life. I'm hearing from people who have always had deep questions about Zionism in Israel, but you know, wasn't sure what to make of it. But in this current moment, with this genocide that is ongoing and the increasingly just horrific and heinous news that we're hearing coming out of Gaza, that they can't take it anymore. And, you know, they're members of congregations that are doubling down on supporting Israel and putting up We Stand With Israel signs outside their congregations and singing Hatikva, the Israeli national anthem, as part of their religious services. And, you know, I'm hearing from people who are Zionist and still quite not ready to take that step, but want to know more because they're deeply troubled. You know, calling us a fringe is just, again, a deeply prejudicial statement. Wiener mentioned and admitted in his own remarks that Jews disagree and that Jews are diverse. But when you call another group of Jews a fringe, that is basically your way of saying, these are Jews I don't agree with, and therefore I'm going to do my best to marginalize them and dismiss them and get others to marginalize and dismiss them. He's welcome to not agree with us, but he doesn't have the authority to call us a fringe. Are we a minority voice in the Jewish community? Absolutely. Zionism is still the majority consensus in Israel and Jewish communities around the world, but that majority is eroding. And this minority of Jews who are calling Zionism to question is growing. And every Jewish community study bears this out, that particularly among younger generations, there are very proud Jews, Jews of conscience, people who identify deeply with Jews, Judaism, and Jewish community, who reject Jewish nation statism as part of that identity. It is rooted in my experience, deep human and Jewish conscience and Jewish values, seeing all human beings created in the image of God, understanding that saving a life is paramount to all other mitzvot, to all other commandments. These are deeply held Jewish convictions. And for him to dismiss them as fringe only shows how threatened he is by the growth of anti-Zionist Jews and Judaism in North America and around the world.
We also commented about JVP saying that it's outrageous that this group puts the word Jewish in its name and yet includes many non-Jews. You are professionally positioned to meet and see Jewish families all the time. I wonder if you can talk about the actual diversity of Jewish life and Jewish families in America today.
Sure. I mean, the Jewish community has never been hermetically sealed from the communities in which we've lived. And that certainly has been the case in modernity and in the United States. You know, intermarriage is a reality. We have non-Jews, some of whom end up converting to Judaism, but some not, who are deeply involved in Jewish community. In my congregations, some of the most active and important members of our congregations are people who are not Jewish, but are either partnered with Jews or are, you know, I would call fellow travelers, people who share these values and participate in community. This is the reality of the Jewish community in North America, whether Wiener wants to recognize that or not. So I don't know if he's an Orthodox Jew, I don't know if he belongs to a congregation, but he should know that the Jewish community is not vacuum sealed in keeping non-Jews out. Are there non-Jewish members of Jewish Voice for Peace? Absolutely. Does that make it any less of a Jewish organization or a Jewish community? Absolutely not.
As if to channel my last question, Senator Wiener also brought up Passover dinner during his floor rant, a topic that you and I have discussed many times over the years. You recently participated in a Passover action at the border to Gaza. Can you tell us about that action and how you were feeling about Passover this year, specifically in our last couple minutes?
Yes, I think I, like many Jews around the country and around the world, have been really struggling on how to celebrate Passover this year. A story about Jewish liberation from oppression and slavery at a time where a Jewish state in the name of Jewish people were committing genocide against another people. And, you know, one of the answers to this question was this action, which was organized by Rabbis for Ceasefire, as I believe you mentioned. There were 10 American rabbis together with between 25 and 30 Israeli activists on the ground. And we were motivated by the central sacred imperative of Passover, which is all who are hungry, come and eat. And in a moment where Israel the Israeli military was actively starving the population of Gaza as a weapon of war. We felt we couldn't just say those words around the Seder table. We needed to go to the border of Gaza with food provisions in hand to demand all who are hungry come and eat, because otherwise those words would just have no meaning whatsoever. And it was a remarkable, powerful experience, and probably one of the most memorable Passover experiences I've ever had, because it was rooted in the values of this holiday, which are themselves rooted in not only just mere words, but action.
And were you able to deliver that food?
We were not. We fully expected to be barred from entry. We were about a kilometer and a half north of the Erez crossing. We were stopped by the Israeli police. 10 Americans and Israelis were arrested and held for several hours before they were released. And we ended up donating the provisions, the food provisions, thankfully they weren't confiscated, to Masefer Yatta, which is a community of Palestinian villages in the South Hebron Hills in the West Bank.
Headline, Jewish rabbis prevented from feeding people on Passover by the Israeli military. I can't thank you enough for taking your time to be with us today and have this conversation. American college and university presidents, elected representatives, and mainstream media personalities continue to claim the protection of Jewish students, faculty, constituents, and communities from anti-Semitism by supporting Israel's genocide of indigenous Palestinians. In what looks to most Americans, including many progressive Jews, like a Faustian nightmare. Oscar nominee, Columbia University professor, and former JVP board member James Shamus was one of the signatories to the Jewish faculty letter to Columbia University's president, Shafiq, in support of the Columbia Barnard Student Palestine Solidarity Encampment. Incensed by Shafiq's authorization for the New York City Police Department to arrest over 100 students at the encampment on the university lawn, Shamus said in a video posted online, quote, "They are persecuting, jailing, harassing, surveilling, and intimidating Jewish and all other students, faculty, and staff who are seeking to exercise not only their freedoms of speech and inquiry, but their very obligations as scholars and citizens," end quote. Once again, I want to thank our guest, Rabbi Brent Rosen, rabbi at Tzedek Chicago, co-founder of the JVP Rabbinic Council, and like me, a very proud and active member of Jewish Voice for Peace. I also want to thank Mark Maxwell for his production support today. Our theme song is The Overture from Summer Night's Dream by Marcel Felipe. For KPFK Los Angeles, I'm SD Chandler, thanking you for taking this time to put the Middle East in focus.
I'm Chuck Foster, host of Reggae Central right here on KPFK. Join me Sunday afternoons from 2 to 5 for 3 hours of the best in ska, rocksteady, roots and culture, dub and dancehall, from the foundational Jamaican recordings to the latest international releases. That's Reggae Central, 2 to 5 p.m. every Sunday right here on KPFK.
Do you love KPFK? Now is your chance to get involved by participating in the local station board. Run for a seat on the board by becoming a candidate between June 1st and June 30th. Complete your candidate package located on elections.pacifica.org. Call 707-500-1910 to leave a voicemail for the election supervisor.
We are gentle. Support comes from the Will Gear Theatricum Botanicum, presenting renowned singer, songwriter, agent of social change, and political artist Holly Neer, Thursday, June 13th, 2024, at 7:30 p.m. Holly Neer has had an amazing, exemplary life.